An 800-pound flying gorilla, Continental and United to merge.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Continental Airlines and United Airlines have plans to merge. The deal would create the biggest carrier in the world. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more.
This merger has been the talk for years. This United Airlines ad would barely have to be rewritten.
Where you go in life is up to you. There's one airline that can take you there.
The merger could be announced as soon as Monday. If the deal goes through, the new company will keep the United brand and ditch the Continental name. Julius Maldudis with Aviation Dynamics says the deal will help the carriers stay stable in a turbulent market.
You have too many airlines to begin with, so you have great competition all over the place, not only domestically but on a global basis.
Legacy carriers have been hammered by low-cost upstarts. United lost $82 million in the first quarter. Richard Gritta teaches airline finance at the University of Portland. He says the merger may not be the best news for flyers who already pay extra fees for everything from snacks to checked bags.
The fact is, you're going to have a huge airline, and they are going to be able then to raise prices.
Gritta says even though the deal will create the world's biggest airline, it probably won't be considered a monopoly by government regulators. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico continues to worsen. President Obama said British oil giant BP is responsible for the cleanup cost. It's expected to total around $100 million. Oil prices are on the rise this morning, more than $85 a barrel. Markets, though, are mixed. London's FTSE is down 0.4%. Germany's DAX is up 0.3%. U.S. markets finished way up yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.1% to close at 11,167. More than 3 months after the devastating earthquake in Haiti, Congress has introduced the Haiti Economic Lift Program, or HELP. The act would allow more Haitian textiles to be sold in the U.S. without import duties. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Textiles and apparel make up more than 80% of Haiti's exports, and the U.S. buys most of it. So if Congress does away with import duties for clothes made in Haiti, it provides an incentive for international companies to open factories there. Fabrizio Operti is with the Inter-American Development Bank.
This is very positive for investment in Haiti in the textile and apparel sector, and it's very important for job creation.
Some worry that most of the jobs will still be in a single dominant industry, but Stephanie Burgos with Oxfam America says those jobs are key to Haiti's recovery. Oxfam supports the bill in Congress. At the same time, Burgos agrees on the need to diversify the economy.
We should be helping Haitians to rebuild their agricultural sector and to build their domestic capacity to produce food. But I don't think one is exclusive of the other.
She says the legislation would expand a program that monitors labor conditions so that the apparel industry could grow while reducing the number of sweatshops. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
More bad news for Goldman Sachs. Federal prosecutors have opened an investigation into the investment bank's trading practices. Goldman is already facing civil charges from regulators and spent the week getting grilled on Capitol Hill. It all made for an interesting backdrop to congressional debates over financial reform this week. Here to talk with us is Robert Reich, professor of public policy at Berkeley and the former Secretary of Labor under Clinton. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Robert, Wall Street was bailed out over a year and a half ago. What has been taking so long with financial reform?
Well, you know, it's complicated, and lots of money and powerful interests are involved. After the crash of 1929, it took Congress 5 years to create the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Federal Deposit Insurance, and the Glass-Steagall Act that separated commercial banks from investment banks.
During this week's grilling of Goldman Sachs, some of the senators focused on what they called the bank's lack of social responsibility. Do you think that is what is at the heart of Wall Street's problems?
Not really. Wall Street's been no more greedy in recent years than it ever was before. I mean, take greed out of the street, and all that's left is the pavement. The question is whether Goldman and maybe some other banks broke the law, and that's going to be decided in the courts. The question before Congress is different. That's whether the law should be changed and how.
Do you think financial reform should try and stop Wall Street from making these really risky bets?
Well, risky bets are inherent in any financial market, and it's good for the economy when Wall Street manages financial risk responsibly. The goal of reform is to set some limits on those bets so the economy is helped by them more than it's potentially harmed.
If financial reform eventually passes, do you think Wall Street will have less power over the economy?
Well, that's a very important question, Stacey. I doubt it. Four decades ago, Wall Street worked on behalf of industries that made real products. And real products were where the money was. But as Wall Street itself became the place where the biggest bucks could be made, everything seemed to have flipped. Most of American industry is now, in effect, working for the street, whose analysts and traders can determine the fates of companies every quarter. And a lot of American entrepreneurship, Stacey, has shifted from real products to financial products. This is a long-run problem for the American economy. What's being discussed in Washington right now doesn't come close to addressing it.
Robert Reich is professor of public policy at Berkeley and the former Secretary of Labor under Clinton. Robert, thank you.
Thanks, Stacey.
And finally, a sad note this Friday morning. The designer of New York's iconic Greek-style paper coffee cup has passed away. Leslie Buck designed the cup in 1963. He used the Greek design and the blue and white of the Greek flag because so many of New York's diner owners were Greek at the time. Buck was a refugee from Nazi Europe. He started a paper cup company with his brother in the 60s. He was 87 years old. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.